ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम दी 10th कैंट ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट नंबर 34। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द गोपी सर्च फॉर कृष्णा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। रे मे तया चात्मरत आत्मा रामोऽप्यखण्डितः कामिनां दर्शयन् दैन्या स्त्रीणां चैव दुरात्मता। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिसाइपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, लॉर्ड कृष्ण एंजॉयड विद दैट गोपी although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus by contrast he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Purport. This verse directly refutes the superficial criticism materialistic people sometimes direct against Lord Krishna's pastimes. The philosopher Aristotle claimed that ordinary activities are unworthy of God. And with this idea in mind, some people declare that since the activities of Lord Krishna resemble those of ordinary human beings, he cannot be the absolute truth. But in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami emphatically points out that Lord Krishna acts on the liberated platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. This fact is indicated here by the terms Atmarata, Atma Rama and Akhandita. It is inconceivable to ordinary people that a handsome young boy and a beautiful young girl enjoying romantic conjugal affairs in the forest moonlit can be engaging in pure activity, free from egoistic desire and lust. Yet while Lord Krishna is inconceivable to ordinary persons, those who love him can easily realize the absolute, pure nature of his activities. One may argue that beauty is in the eye of the beholders and that therefore the devotees of Krishna are only imagining the Lord's activities to be pure. This argument ignores many significant facts. For one, the path of Krishna consciousness of developing love for Krishna demands that a devotee strictly follow four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication and no eating of meat, fish or egg. When one is freed from material lust and rises to the liberated platform beyond material desire, one realizes the absolute beauty of Lord Krishna. This process is not theoretical. It has been practiced and completed by many thousands of great sages who have left us their shining example and their brilliant teachings concerning the path of Krishna consciousness. Certainly beauty is in the eye of the beholder. However, real beauty is pursued by the soul's eye and not by the lusty eye of the material body. Therefore, the Vedic literature repeatedly stresses that only those who freed from material desire can see the beauty of Lord Krishna with the eye of the pure soul, anointed with love of Godhead. It may finally be noted that upon realizing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one becomes free of all tinges of sex desire, a state of mind that can hardly result from the meditating upon material sexual affairs. One final note, the conjugal pastimes of Krishna perfectly round out his qualification as the supreme absolute truth. The Vedanta states that the absolute truth is the source of everything. So certainly the absolute cannot lack any of the beautiful things of this world. It is only because romantic affairs exist in pure spiritual form in the absolute that they can manifest in perverted material form in this world. Thus the apparent beauty of this world is not to be absolutely rejected. Rather, beauty should be accepted in pure spiritual form. Since the beginning of time, men and women have been inspired to poetic rapture by the art of romance. Unfortunately, romance in this world usually leads to crushing disappointment, brought about by a change of heart or by death. Thus, although we may at first find romantic affairs beautiful and enjoyable, they are eventually spoiled by the onslaught of material nature. Still, it is unreasonable to totally reject the concept of romance. Rather, we should accept conjugal attraction in its absolute, perfect, pure form, as it exists within God, without a tinge of material lust of selfishness. That pure conjugal attraction, the supreme beauty and pleasure of the absolute truth, is what we are reading about here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. This is a most difficult subject matter to discuss. And still you have to discuss, since Maharaj is not here, Radhanath Maharaj. We see, I remember once Shyamananda was giving Radhashtami lecture. And he raised this question in Gita, Bhagavad Gita purport. Not even once Prabhupada mentions the name of Radharani. We don't find it. Following in the line of Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami in the entire Bhagavatam does not mention Srimati Radharani's name directly. And therefore our scriptures don't go only through directly mentioning in the Shastras. One who understands the heart of the scripture, they can see Radharani everywhere, even in the purports of Gita. And those who don't understand, they don't see it, so they want historical evidence. Another principle is that how can someone discuss the private affair of your master? If you have a master whom you respect so much, you know, he's a powerful personality, you don't talk about his private affairs so openly. Therefore, as a respect, one approaches the subject matter very seriously. When we approach the subject matter very seriously, then there is a hope of advancement. Otherwise, the very nectarian pastimes of Krishna, we see Sukadeva Goswami wants in the Bhagavatam. Just like Rahu, when he came in touch with nectar, he was killed. And Lord Shiva, even though he came in touch with poison, he became glorified. Similarly, Krishna's transcendental pastimes are much higher than any nectar what you can achieve in this world. But if this pastime, if these topics are discussed very casually, very lightly, then that causes death of our spirituality. Unfortunately, that's what we see in India, that people talk so lightly about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. And they're drinking nectar, but they're drinking the poison because of the wrong attitude. And those who practice devotional service, Srila Prabhupada explains, where does bhakti actually begin? The bhakti does not begin, we are not called as devotees just because we know about Radharani. It is not that we dwell on the pastimes of 10th canto and discuss so many wonderful pastimes, which is, of course, we discuss in the loving devotees association who have the sincerity to understand. Otherwise, discussing these pastimes, unless we have qualification, is not very good. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, where does bhakti begin? Bhakti begins with detachment with matter. If one is attached to matter, sense objects, how much different kinds of senses, when they interact with the sense object, what is sense object? Sense object is nothing but dead matter. No sense object. Most of the time, of course, there are sense objects which are living. When a man is attracted to a woman, that is a living sense object. But that living sense object is not we are attracted to. We are attracted to the dead senses. No, the eyes, the nose, the skin. We are not attracted to the soul. Basically, we are attracted to the dead matter. The power of dead matter is so great that power of dead matter can bewilder the most intelligent living entity also. The soul gets affected by the dead matter. The power of sensuality is so great. Therefore, if one can overcome the attraction to sense object, detachment from senses, sense objects, that is a great qualification. But that is not sufficient. Being detached from matter, we see in the Shastra, there are people, Radhashyam Prabhu writes in one of his books, Sukadeva Goswami, when you place sugar, especially when you are fasting, when you place sugar on your tongue, naturally you melt. Because you are fasting. We respond to something which is very tasty. Sukadeva Goswami is so indifferent to the sense object, when he placed sugar on his tongue, it didn't melt. It stayed without moving, without changing. You take tamarind before even putting in the rasam. Or you take, of course we don't take, when people, you know, cut onion and garlic. Their entire body is affected by that. The eyes are watering, the nose is not watering because of ecstasy, because of pain. That is the power of this sense object. It can create reaction instantly. You take a chili pepper and bite it. You sweat. So this sense object can actually create agitation of our senses. But one who is completely detached, how difficult it is. And somebody is detached, still is not qualified to be called as a devotee. That is not the first, that is not the only qualification to be detached from matter. One has to be detached from matter, but at the same time one should be attracted to Krishna. That is the qualification of a devotee, and that's the beginning of Shantaras. Prabhupada explains, that's the beginning of Shantaras, and there is so ashanti in our mind, so much of agitation, so much of provocation, and we dare to discuss as if we are intimate friend of Srimati Radharani. So therefore no scripture in the world ever dares to discuss the private affair of God. You discuss the public affair of God. How God is great. How God is powerful. How God kills. How God destroys. How God protects. These are all PWD department. No? God is performing so much of. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami begins, why did Krishna come to this material world? He came to this material world, he is discussing the favor Krishna did to the material people. That the world was affected by the demons who were posing themselves as devotees, themselves as kings. Krishna came to destroy them. But the same time the Lord, when he comes and performs his pastime of, you know, protecting conditioned souls and killing the demons, he also has his private affair. Every living entity, Krishna is also living entity, but not like us. He is the supreme living entity, the original living entity. So just like whether one is practicing Krishna consciousness, one is not practicing Krishna consciousness, the power of romantic affair is very powerful. Even those who are practicing renunciation, they are affected by that. They are trying to push it. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Why? Because it's very powerful. Someone who was a great wrestling guru, he got married when he was 90 years old. Just imagine. That is the power of, you know, the lusty affairs. And people, in fact, one psychologist said every third thought of a human being is about sexual activities only. And when it comes to God, people say, no, how can God do it? You want to do it, but God should not be doing it. In fact, some terrorists are told, if you do this, then you go to enjoy to the heavenly planets. So as Prabhupada, as here Hridayananda Maharaj explains, that if ordinary human beings can enjoy, why not God? Therefore Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that God's enjoyment is our nourishment. We are nourished because Krishna enjoys. And why not? Why not Krishna enjoys? He is the supreme being, but his enjoyment is not mundane. His enjoyment is transcendental. And because it is transcendental, and therefore it has been approached very carefully, extremely carefully it is approached. Only Srimad Bhagavatam brings out the pastimes of Krishna, the private affair. And that private affair has been made publicly by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sukadeva Goswami presents it. So therefore, unless we understand, at least theoretically we know, we can't come to that platform in this lifetime by our own efforts. Being detached to matter, the next iPhone comes, we are finished. Even though you don't have it. Next laptop comes, we are finished. One movie comes out. Even devotees know everything about that movie when they don't watch. That's a mystical potency. Even the brahmacharis, those stay in the temple, you know, some new movie comes and they know the whole story. Hey, did you watch? No, I know everything about it. How does it happen? It's happening by some means. We don't know how it happens. Why? Because there is a natural tendency. Just see, to chant Hare Krishna, we have to endeavor. But not to chant Hare Krishna is very easy. You don't have to endeavor, I don't want to chant. You don't put an effort to not to chant Hare Krishna. It automatically happens. Not chanting, just not chant, you don't feel anything bad. Why? Because that is our nature. Our nature is to, you know, naturally run towards which is non-Krishna. And to run towards Krishna, to chant His holy name, so many times when we travel, we see even those who take vows. It's such a beautiful sight to see someone coming and taking vows in the presence of the spiritual master. And I get to see when people are taking vows, there is so much of intensity, there is joyfulness, there is gravity, there is seriousness. I'll chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day for the rest of my life, as attentively as possible, follow the four regulative principle. When you see that commitment, it is very joyful. And that very devotees who have taken commitment, and at some point of time, they give up chanting Hare Krishna. The chanting Hare Krishna becomes very difficult. I can't forget one devotee was telling, one Prabhupada disciple, he said, you know what, I am so diseased. He said, it takes 4 hours for me to chant 4 rounds. Where is the hope for me? And he started crying. I said, that is the hope. The hope is, you know, your lamentation that you are not able to chant. I said, we are chanting 6 rounds just like a 20-20 match. You know, but where is the attention? It's a practice performed because of doing every day. We chant 16 rounds, but there is no substance in that chanting. So when we understand this principle that how fallen we are, how attracted to matter we are, and still we are given the opportunity to discuss the private affair of Krishna. It is not our qualification. Therefore, Radharani means two things. One is, she is a combination of gratitude and regret. I am not going to discuss any of her pastimes with Krishna because I am not qualified. But we will discuss her character. Her value. What is her value? What is her character? Her character, if you read the Bhagavatam, it is two things. In this very chapter, Sukadeva Goswami explains when all the gopis came to meet Radharani because she was the only fortunate who was there with Krishna in privacy, and she lost it. And how she lost it, according to Srimati Radharani, according to Radharani, that she became proud. She dared to ask Krishna that carry me on your back. And then Krishna got down to carry Radharani on his back. And then he disappeared. And because he disappeared, Radharani laments. What she laments? She laments that I am so unfortunate. You know, I took Krishna lightly. I took him for granted. So that regret is there. And gratitude was expressed by Radharani in Kurukshetra. When he came to touch Srimati Radharani's feet. Because now just see, this is God. As we were discussing on Janmashtami Day, our Dr. Alva was saying, you know, when devotees come, I feel happy because they all offer obeisances to deities. And these big, big guys come, you know, they're still like a stick. They don't bow down only 20 degree bowing down. Otherwise, they feel it is big offense to bow down 100%, flat like a rod. When you see someone comes, you know, some new person coming to Radha Gopinath temple, you become delighted when they offer obeisance to Prabhupada also. You become delighted when they offer obeisance to Radha Gopinath also, flat. Most of the time when people come, you know, their head become very high. First time they are coming. And they don't want to surrender. Not to surrender is our constitutional, our conditional constitutional nature. So therefore, we see that Radharani, when she, Krishna approached her in Kurukshetra, now the Lord is falling. That is his greatness. It is not that God's position is minimized. When George Washington, when he saw one ordinary soldier offering obeisances to him, salute, and he got up to receive that salute, and somebody said, Washington, why do you do this? You're the supreme boss. He said, why should I be less than him? Why should I be less than him in regards to giving respect? So, if a George Washington can have this small courtesy of responding, how much more that is there in God? Therefore, Krishna, I remember when I heard first time that Krishna offers his obeisances to Radharani, I said, my God, how can he do it? Just see, our false ego cannot take it. That how can a man offer obeisances to a woman? That's the first, you know, the male ego cannot agree with that. That was my first experience when I first time heard from Maharaj. I said, my God, that's too much. He's God, he's Krishna. You know, I can understand he's trampling upon Kaliya, killing, lifting mountain. God can do that. But God falling at the feet of his devotee, it was very disturbing in the beginning. It takes many, many years to understand that the supreme quality of God is that he's so sportive. If somebody is greater than him in regards to loving him, in regards to charming him, he doesn't have a false ego. He is charmed by Srimati Radharani and he puts his head down at her feet without any hesitation. That is God. And that is the power of Radharani. Srila Prabhupada explains, Radharani is under the grip of Krishna. When she opens her palm, what do you find her? Krishna is within her grip. That is Krishna's greatness to be under the grip of Radharani. And that is Radharani's greater greatness that she can grab Krishna within her grip. And even though Krishna is within her grip, what is her nature? When we be victorious, there is a ego. Like our children say nowadays when the cricketers celebrate their victory. We have not seen, but we have heard, there is so much of perversion in regards to celebrate their victory. I think more than celebrating victory, they celebrate the defeat of other party. That I pounced upon you. I beat you badly. So we experience joy not in celebrating victory, but celebrating the defeat of other party. This is a perverted nature. But here Radharani is victorious over whom? Not some other gopi. She is victorious over the absolute truth. And even after being victorious over the absolute truth, what is her nature? She says, I am criminal. When Krishna came to Radharani and put his head at her feet, now, you know, one great devotee, he explains that what did Radharani say? She told Krishna, Krishna, the society has given you dominance over us. Samaj ne aapko hamare upar adhikar diya hua hai. Power has been given on us. Therefore, you cannot do any wrong. There is no question of you doing any wrong. From Krishna's point of view, Krishna betrayed. According to Krishna, that I did not fulfill what I promised. And therefore, I am a criminal. And as a criminal, I have come here to beg your forgiveness. And when Krishna does it, Radharani says, no, you are not criminal. I am criminal. That's a regret. I am criminal that even though I was staying away from you, feeling your separation, and even though I was feeling your separation, I am still surviving. Krishna said, but you love me so much. There is so much of affection in you. You are crying tears. And what does Radharani say? These tears are all fake tears. Just see, therefore Prabhupada, somebody came in the temple and he was exhibiting all kinds of ecstasy. And devotees eventually told Prabhupada, Gurudas Prabhu writes, Prabhupada, you know, somebody came in the temple and he was rolling and he was exhibiting all kinds of ecstasy. What should do in such a case? He said, you should have kicked him. Then you would rise. Now you don't, It may sound, why, you know, it's so harsh saying like that, kick him. Because that is a test. If he really has joy, ecstasy for Krishna, then he would never do that. When we see in this material world also, when somebody glorifies us, you are a senior devotee, you are a good devotee, you are a big devotee, you are a counselor, you are a guru, you are a teacher. Even though apparently we may say, no, I am nobody, but internally, you know, we are experiencing sweet rice. We are experiencing malpua. We are experiencing all kind of ecstasy. Even though apparently we may say, therefore somebody said, in the privacy of one's own heart, one will never respect oneself. Because there is so much of corruption within. We don't need to, you know, have a corruption drive. Corruption is within. So therefore, no one can respect oneself in the privacy of the heart. Why? Because the heart is filled with criminality. And because it is filled with criminality, the hope is to understand and apply how does Radharani behave. So she tells Krishna that actually there is no love. It is all fake. It is only imitation. If I had real love for you, Krishna, what would happen? She says, then I would not live. I would not survive. The mere fact is that I am still surviving. That is the sign that I don't have any love. Therefore, the supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani, can act like a most insignificant devotee. Most insignificant. And sometimes we see, you know, why the conflicts are there. The conflicts are there because of false ego only. We give so much of importance to our own opinion. My opinion is so important. And therefore, we are willing to break the unity of friendliness with devotees, you know, family relationship, friendly relationship. It's all broken only on the principle of, because my false ego was hurt. And Radharani, no false ego. Krishna, no false ego. And because there is no false ego between two of them, and therefore they can perform most wonderful pastime, as here it is explained, that materialistic enjoyment caused by false ego leads to breakage. But when Krishna and Radharani perform their pastime, there is no false ego only. Radharani has given her ego to Krishna, and Krishna has given his ego. And what's his ego? Our ego is we are servant. And still we have such a big ego. I am a bigger servant. I am 25-year-old servant. You are just 3-year-old servant. You are just a recent devotee. I am a Brahman initiated devotee. The lamb should come first to me. The cushion should come first to me. We can't even get over that. And how can we discuss the pastime of Srimati Radharani? Here Srimati Radharani, you know, she says this to Krishna, and that's how they meet in Kurukshetra. The meeting in Kurukshetra between Krishna and Radharani is the meeting of competition between two humilities. Krishna's humility and Radharani's humility. And both parties, you know, conquer each other. Bhakti means being conquered by each other. So therefore, Krishna, we study also again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very interestingly, Kaviraj Goswami explains. Now Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam satayva bhajamyaham. Mama vartamano vartate manushya partha sarvasa. Now he's speaking as God. He's speaking as the Supreme Lord. He's speaking as Paramatma, saying that as people approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. Krishna has the power to reciprocate. Any number of people, millions of people can come to Krishna at once, and Krishna can reciprocate. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, after searching all the gopis, eventually when they met with Krishna, Krishna expanded his vibhuti. He was with each gopi, and how many gopis were there? 3 billion gopis. 3 billion gopis were there, and Krishna expanded 3 billion gopis. Now we can't handle this 3 billion gopis. How is it possible in Vrindavan 3 billion gopis? You know, 4,800 is so difficult. In Yatra. So how can you handle 3 billion gopis? That is God. Now here Krishna is exhibiting his power of supreme personality of Godhead. He can expand, you know, into 3 billion forms, And he was walking with each gopi and trying to pacify her. That is his supreme power. And while exhibiting the supreme power, he still, you know, kind of says, I am sorry. A powerful personality, again, to show humility at the same time is extremely difficult. People are so affected. Some Mysore king, Braj Bihari Prabhu, was mentioning in one of his class that one Mysore king, when he was offended by some shopkeeper, a car seller, he was so affected by that. His ego hurt. Rolls Royce cars. What he did? He was so affected, you know, it's not a glory, it's a perversion. That he bought so many Rolls Royce and he placed them in his palace as a dustbin. They said, that is what it is worth. Keep it as a dustbin. And the Rolls Royce company had to come back, hey, don't do it, you know, we are insulting our, we'll pay you more money, you know, but don't treat our cars like this. They were also affected by their false ego. The king was affected. Here the king's false ego is much more superior than the false ego of the car company, and the car company was begging. Humility out of false ego only. Humility not caused because of humility, because humility is caused because my false ego was affected. So therefore, here Krishna has the power to expand into billions of forms, but what does he do? At the end of the day, of the pastime is over, you know, very beautifully Kaviraj Goswami explains that Se Pratigya Bhanga Hoila Gopira Bhajana. That what Pratigya, which he had taken in the Gita, of course that Pratigya he did afterwards, but of course the Gita is eternal. So he said, anyone can come to me and I can reciprocate. And after the entire pastime is over, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna tells the gopis, he said, I have nothing to offer. I am, you know, poverty stricken. I have nothing to offer. The kind of devotional service you have performed, what is there for me to offer? I have nothing. I can't repay for your devotional service. Therefore, gopis, please be satisfied with your own devotional service. And this is what Kaviraj Goswami explains, Pratigya Bhanga Hila Gopira Bhajane. By the bhakti of the gopis, then what is their bhakti? Now if you see from a material point of view, others were great people. They were great devotees and great people also. Bhishma Dev, Mahajan, officially declared as Mahajan. Arjun, son of Indra, the eternal associate, Nar Narayan. Everybody else in Krishna Leela, Brahmaji, Indra, you know, whoever assisted Krishna in his pastime, they had some position. But the gopis had no position. Materially, they had no position. They couldn't claim anything which belonged to them. Their life was like an ordinary, most insignificant women. But the power of bhakti was so great. There Krishna is saying that I cannot repay. I have nothing to offer. And what does Krishna say? He said, even if I have the life of Lord Brahma, now he controls the life of Brahma, but Krishna is giving an example that even if I have to take the birth and come as Lord Brahma and stay, how much? What a lifespan Lord Brahma has. And endeavor every moment to repay, still I'll not be able to repay. It will be a fruitless effort. Therefore, Bhagavatam explains that repaying what Guru has given to us, we become simply laughing stock. Laughing stock or Vinoda Patra. No, how much you can try? And even if you try, you can never repay. Now, this is what Krishna is thinking. Krishna is thinking, I cannot repay. And sometimes we think, you know, some people come and tell also, you know, I served you for so many years and this is what I got. Just see, we are trying to compare between what Krishna is thinking and what we think. There is a mindset. The false ego says, I served for 5 years. I have served for 10 years and therefore I need this. Therefore the whole concept of Gurukul, when a student comes to Guru, of course he learns from Guru, but more than learning, to digest what he has learned, he engages in hard labor, in the most menial service, to digest, to accumulate, to digest that knowledge. Like somebody came to Prabhupada and he wanted to know many things. Prabhupada said, little by little. He said, immediately want to know everything, you will not be able to digest it. Just like sweet rice. The Dvivedis in Mathura, they can drink 3 liters, 4 liters of sweet rice. And if you try tonight doing that, no, you will not be able to handle it. Why? Because our digestion system is not working. People are taking Tripala churn, people are taking this churn, they are taking that churn. You know, that stomach is finished. Our mind is always absorbed, my belly, you know, more than the tongue, the belly. Why? Because it doesn't function properly. But the Dubes can do it. They can digest so much of sweet rice. Right? So therefore, when we understand Krishna's pastime, here Krishna is saying, you know, I cannot repay, and what? Millions of lifetime, even if I endeavor every moment, still I can repay. Therefore, gopis, be satisfied with your own devotional service. Therefore, again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we read, Lord Chaitanya was reciting these verses. Our Gaur Govind Maharaj explained, it was like, you know, eruption. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking these verses in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he gave the example. He said, when you eat something and there is a powerful surge of vomiting, after eating, sometimes there is a food poisoning. And when you eat and vomit, you get to know everything what is there, what you have eaten. Huh? Everything comes out almost as it is. What has gone comes out as it is. So he says, similarly, what was vomited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Shikshastakam is nothing but the mood of Srimati Radharani. Ashlishava Padaratam Pinishtuma. I said, when she is practicing this principle, in fact it is explained that when Krishna Radharani's mood is that if I can't please Krishna, no, our false ego says, if I can't please Krishna, nobody should please Krishna. Sometime in this mundane world, even those who claim themselves to be devotees, sometime they create trouble for other devotees from performing their service nicely. Consciously or unconsciously, there is some kind of curse spoken. To be success nahi hona chahiye. If I don't become successful, you should not be successful. How can you be successful? How can you get mercy? There is so much of, you know, mind, you know, bhakti is all about how Radharani thinks. She thinks supremely negative of herself. And Krishna is the supreme positive. And unless we understand this principle, unless we emulate these qualities, we will never understand. You know, people talk about having Sarupa Siddhi, being a peacock, being a gopi, being this, being that. It is so arrogant even to discuss that. When we are still working with our senses and sense object, and we are discussing. Our Jayadeva Maharaj is mentioning, you know, that will be taken care by our acharyas. Whatever we are supposed to get, that will come to us. We have no qualification. A servant who is working for a big master, he can't go and ask him, my share. My share is only asked by the son. Even he should not be asking. The father will give it. But a servant, the most ordinary servant, goes to his master and said, my share, this is my share I need. He'll be thrown out. So what is our share? Our share is that we should be devoured by the share, the tiger of material existence. So if something comes in our palm, you know, some perfection, whatever it comes, therefore Prabhupada explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he said there is no difference between Radharani or tree of Vrindavan. He is making a point from a tattva point of view, becoming a grass. Why claim one is a gopi? What if you are told you are a dry grass? Just imagine, not even a fresh grass. Your constitutional nature is not that you are a gopi. You are not a close associate of Radharani. You are a grass, dry grass. almost on the outskirts of Vrindavan. We'll say Krishna is creating politics, man. How can he call I'm a grass when I practice Mahaprabhu's philosophy? You know, I need to be in Madhurya Ras. So Prabhupada says, even a grass in Vrindavan and Radharani are non-different. We are not even qualified to be grass. Our position is not even qualified to be grass. But how can we claim? So therefore, here Srimati Radharani, when she comes to Krishna, what is her mood? She says, if a rival gopi, in this Ashlishava Padaratam Pinustuma Kaviraj Goswami explains, that a rival gopi can please Krishna more than me. We talk about rivalry, Chandravali, you know, we talk about Raghunath Das Goswami throwing away the chas cup, which is from the Chandravali's village. We like rivalry. Therefore, we tend to put our mentality there. But here, what does Radharani say? Radharani says, if there is a rival gopi, she doesn't like me, and if Krishna can be pleased by her, I will go to her, and I will fall at her feet, and beg her. Now here, cooperation principle is spoken. Radharani's pastime can be teaching us the lesson of the highest lesson of conjugal love, and can teach us the most simple lesson of cooperation, which we are struggling with. She can go to that most insignificant gopi and pray to her, falling at her feet. They said, my dear gopi, why are you so arrogant? Krishna wants you. Please come there. That is Ashlishava Padaratam Pinustuma. So therefore, you know, Radha Rani, this word Radha, recently when Nasik temple was being installed, deities were being installed, you know, Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj and some devotees were sitting and they were discussing. And one of them asked this question, why? Because the day before Nigdi, Nasik, they had installed Nigdi deities. But you see, all the places when the deities are installed, Radharani's name doesn't change. Krishna's name changes. Radha Govind, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Gopal. Only Radharani's name stays stable. So one of the student of Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj asked this question, that why we don't change Radharani's name? Very nice question. And then Maharaj Radhanand Maharaj said, can I answer this question? Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj said, yes Maharaj, go ahead and speak. So Maharaj said, what is Radha represent? He said, Radha represents Seva. Radharani's name, Radha and Seva are synonymous. And what does Krishna represent? Krishna represents enjoyment. So therefore, Krishna's name, whenever it changes, every name what Krishna has, it denotes some kinds of pastime. Some kind of enjoyment. Govinda means one who enjoys. So therefore, he said Krishna can have millions of names and Radharani also has hundreds and thousands of names, but she prefers my name with Krishna should be Radha only. Because what is that? Krishna Dasi. Radharani means she is a servant of Krishna. So Maharaj said that she would prefer to have Radha name along with Krishna. Therefore, her name can never be changed. Radha Madan Gopal, Radha Govind, Radha Gopinath, that will remain the same. If you call Swamini, then she will not like it because that will not give her the identification of being a servant. And Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj said, wow, that was too good. Huh? Now that is not there in any book. But simply, by meditating upon the principle of what Radharani represents, you know, by the grace of Guru, Maharaj could bring out that realization that Radharani means Seva. On the other hand, in material world, we always want to remove this servitorship. I am not anybody's servant. I am the boss of everybody. And Radharani here, she is the, Gaurangpu was mentioning in one of his Radhastami lecture, you know, Radharani is the original pujari. She is always there on the altar. We pujaris come like a duty, police duty, you know, different shifts. Monday shift, Tuesday shift, Thursday shift, Friday shift. But she, her shift doesn't change. She is standing there not to enjoy. Her enjoyment is to serve Krishna. Such a high ideal. It's not so easy to be a Gaudiya Vaishnava. It sounds easy, but it is not easy. Because what is that? To be Radharani's follower means that your identity will never change. The identity of being servant. Therefore, how nicely Prabhupada added, you know, Das, Dasi, Das, Dasi. People always, before the initiation, there is excitement. Mujhe kya naam milega? They always choose, you know, we have choice. Okay, I want to have this name, I want to have this name. And sometime it may happen that Guru may give the name what we expect to get. And we feel really special. I must be really special. Therefore, I got the name what I expected. Guru knows my heart and I know the heart of Guru. What we are getting, the most important part of the name is the Dasi or Das. But we forget that. And we start talking and I am the most intimate. He can know my heart and I can know the heart of Guru. What Guru is going to give. So therefore, here we understand this principle from Radharani's mood that, and therefore she is very pleasing to Krishna. Radharani and her gopi friends are so pleasing, so therefore Krishna can say, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Mahaprabhu came to Rupa and Sanatan. Now when they express their humility, now we are discussing this, we know that we don't have, I'm sitting and babbling here everything about humility, just to show, just to understand, you know, how fallen we are. Fallen in our understanding, fallen in our attitude, fallen in our disposition. When Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami approached Mahaprabhu, they had straw in their mouth. And they spoke so beautifully, saying that we are like dwarf and you are like moon. So where is the question of dwarf ever getting the chance of touching the moon? There is no hope. It's a hopeless case. Even though materially it's a hopeless case, there is some hope. And what is the hope? Hope is not based upon our efforts. Hope is based upon your compassion. And therefore some hope has developed, therefore we came here. And they keep on speaking and Lord Chaitanya says, stop it. My heart is breaking because of your humility. And Lord has to say, stop it, my heart is breaking you because of your false ego. His heart breaks when we exhibit our false ego. But here his heart is breaking because Rupa and Sanatana are exhibiting humility. And where did they learn it from? They learned it from Srimati Radharani only. They learned it from all Krishna's devotees. Therefore when we understand this principle of Radhastami, that Radharani means pure service. Just like Lord Brahma is pure intelligence. He is nothing but pure intelligence, but sometimes his intelligence also fails. 100% intelligence can fail also. When he thought that I am the creator. It's a, or Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was saying, that this is the psychology that you are forced to think that you are something. Therefore, our Abhiram Gopal Thakur used to say that he said he liked what Prabhupada said, we are non-entities. Non-entities means what? We have no existence. It is not like Mayavad. In Mayavad is non-entity, you want to, you know, just blow away your identity. You don't want to have any identification. Why you don't want to have any identification? Because that is also false ego. Why should I be less? And then from being non-entity, they become God. From Shunyavad, you become God. But here, we are non-entity while maintaining. We realize that I am non-entity. To be non-entity and not to realize is good. But to be non-entity and to realize constantly that I am non-entity is very frustrating. Very painful. Therefore in the material world we see that unless we feel worthy, we can't function. Therefore Varnashram is there. I am a husband. Then you can function. I am a wife. Then you can function. I am father. you function. I am the sun, you function. If you don't have an identity, you cannot function. And therefore people struggle to have an identity. When the identity is there, then they contribute something to this material world. You know, something which is called as good from the material point of view. But if you don't have an identity, and because of that we see people get depressed, that I am good for nothing, I am useless, I can't do anything. Such a good position to be from a spiritual platform, but from a material platform, we can't function. Even to practice our Krishna consciousness at our level, if you don't have that false ego, we'll have to go to the mental asylum. And Krishna can handle that also. He says, okay, I give you position. I give you an identity so that feel something worthy. And at least come and offer it to me. Therefore, karma yoga is there. Karma yoga is there. But in reality, what is it? We are non-entities from a spiritual perspective. And therefore Prabhupada said we are non-entities. And Radharani feels that I am no entity. I am nobody. And because she feels that she is no entity, therefore her offering is more pure, most pure. Srila Prabhupada explains a beautiful concept. How is that our offering has the power, you know, to be offered to Krishna? What makes our offering offerable to Krishna? Very brilliantly explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And if you see, carefully analyze, that whatever ingredients we have, all these ingredients, our mind deserves a place in the dustbin. How can we offer it to Krishna? We don't offer a dirty flower to Krishna. We offer fresh flower. And mind is also called as kumana, sumana, you know, like a lotus flower. If you analyze our mind, what is it? I remember once one Gaudiya Math devotee had come to our temple many years back. And then he was asking Radhananda Maharaj about his story. And then Maharaj talked about how he fell in the sewage system in Vrindavan. Vishwarupa knew that his entire body was covered with, you know, the sewage water, right? And he broke his knee. And then he was narrating that story. And he said, Maharaj was telling to that sannyasi, he said, I had this realization. He said, Krishna says that he is the reciprocator of his devotees. He reciprocates with all living entities, not only devotees, with everybody. He said, what was I doing? I was chanting Hare Krishna and inviting Krishna. And what was my heart? He said, my heart was like a sewage system filled with limitless anarthas. And I was daring to call Krishna, not cleaning that place and allowing Krishna to come in my heart. And just imagine, allowing Krishna to come, asking Krishna to come in my heart, which was nothing but a garbage can, a sewage system, so Krishna reciprocated. You are keeping me in your heart, which is nothing but a sewage system, experience today, once, and stay in the sewage system. He said that was the reciprocation. So our mind, what is our mind? It's an obnoxious thing. Arjuna is saying, who has controlled his mind, who is pure. When he went to heavenly planets, you know, when he saw Apsara, Urvashi, everybody got bewildered with Urvashi. There was not even one person, whoever had seen, he was bewildered. And Arjuna was not bewildered. And therefore Indra said, my God, he said, you are greater than the sages. You did not get disturbed. You had the power to call Urvashi as your mother. He said, therefore, he said, you are great. Arjuna was glorified for his sense control. That Arjuna says, Chanchalam manahi Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigramane vayuravisudushkaram. Pramatta, mad, difficult to control, obstinate. So many adjectives he gives to mind. So how can this mind can be offered to Krishna? Our intelligence contaminated. Our senses extremely contaminated, especially in Kali Yuga. You know, so much of pollution is there. And then with this hand, with this mind, with this intelligence, whatever ingredient we collect, Whatever ingredient we collect, all that ingredient is also contaminated. When we offer milk to Krishna, in one sense, what is that milk? The milk which is already touched by the calf, the udders of the calf has been touched by the calf, so that is the jhuta. The milk is coming from there. Or, you know, you see water. Now what is that water? If you materially see, in one sense, that millions of fish are there. Millions of aquatics are there. And they're doing everything there in that water. How can that water be pure? Any ingredient in this material world cannot be pure and cannot be offered to Krishna. So who makes it spiritual? What makes it spiritual is not our ingredient. Whether I offer diamond to Krishna or whether I offer, you know, chana to Krishna. Both are contaminated. One is contaminated with high cost and one is contaminated with low cost. But they are contaminated. I was quite amazed to read this when I was studying Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And therefore, Mahatmanastu Mamparta Daivim Prakriti Mashrita. And all those ingredients become pure when they come in contact with Daivi Prakriti. And what is that Daivi? That is Srimati Radharani. That Srimati Radharani, in the parampara system, by her glands, by her wish, Prabhupada explains, when we go to Krishna with flower, why should he accept it? Why should he accept that flower? Did I create that flower? Why should he? There is nothing where logically he should not accept it. If you go and give a rich man one paisa coin, even the bhikaris don't accept. Want to speak of rich man accepting. In Bombay, if you throw 1 rupees to a beggar, he throws back to you. Tere liye le ja. You take it. If you give a, you know, tip to somebody, a small money. Krishna Chandrabhu was telling once, he said one of his relatives was traveling in the West. And he gave a tip to the driver, the taxi cab driver. He said, you take it back. For you only, keep it. He told him like that. You know, such an arrogance. They said, it's meant for you, I don't need it. So, a beggar is proud of having a choice. I don't want this coin. Why should Krishna accept when everything belongs to him? Whether it is a diamond, whether it is a gold, whether it is a platinum, whether it is 15 lakh rupees worth dress or 50 rupees worth dress, what is it for Krishna? It is nothing. So what makes it pure, so beautifully explained, that when it comes in the channel of Srimati Radharani, and by her wish, Prabhupada explains, when we take that flower and offer it through Radharani, Radharani says, oh, here is the flower. The best flower has been offered by this devotee, accept it. Then Krishna said, granted, I'll accept this flower. Even though that flower may not be so good. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was going for this Padayatra, you know, one old lady, you know, she brought some chili, dry chili, some lemon, and some brinjal. Now what are they? They are nothing compared to what a founder Acharya of Gaudiya Math could offer. But he stood there and he came back and he collected from her. He said, how can I reject this? I cannot reject. I have no power to reject. I am simply the servant of Mahaprabhu. My duty is to push that offering to him. I cannot reject anything which comes, you know, to Lord Chaitanya. I am simply the Vaya medium which will go to Lord Chaitanya and through it will go to and Radha Krishna. So therefore, just imagine what a fantastic concept. Sometimes people ask, many times people ask this question, how can your tongue, which is vibrating a mantra, which is also made of syllable only, between A and Ksha, wo kaise divya ban gaya? How it becomes transcendental? How can a flower become transcendental? How can water become transcendental? People sometimes say attitude. That's an atheistic concept to say, simply by having a positive attitude. I remember one time during the, you know, our book, debate competition. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj had conducted a debate competition. And at one place, it was in Ahmednagar, one army retired officer, he was a chief guest, he asked, Charanamrit ani ya panyamadhe ka antar hai? What is the difference between Charanamrit and water? He said, there is no difference. Water is water because you think it is water, and water is Charanamrit because you think it is Charanamrit. Everybody clap. Wow. Such a nice concept. He said, simply by your attitude you can change things. Don't believe it. It's a very dangerous concept. Our attitude does not make something good or bad. It has to be, you know, seen through the X-ray of divine vision. Even if I have the good attitude, oh, this is good, this is transcendental, this is spiritual, but it is not glanced upon by the divine energy of the Lord, it continues to remain mundane, even with positive attitude, because positive, negative, they are both within the realm of matter. Dvitiya bhadra abhadra. Kaviraj Goswami explains, good and bad, because they are within the purview of mundane realm, they cannot be called as transcendental. And anything which is glanced by the divine energy, what does it do? That becomes transcendentalized, that becomes spiritual. So therefore, whether it is war, what was Arjuna doing? In fact, Mahabharata explains that Krishna told Arjuna the entire battlefield of Kurukshetra is a yajna. Cannot be seen as a war field, it's a yajna. Why? Because Krishna is there, Krishna's divine energy is there. So whatever Arjuna is doing, it is not ordinary, it is transcendental. Not because Arjuna is doing it, because it is sanctioned by the divine energy. Such a fantastic concept. So therefore, Prabhupada explains, when we get initiated under the parampara system, then our offering becomes spiritual. And not because of good attitude and bad attitude. Sometime, those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness, they may have the greater positive attitude without God. But it is not spiritual. It is still in the realm of mundane affair only. So therefore, Radharani, because her glance, Kaviraj Goswami explains another beautiful concept, that Krishnamayi. Now what is Krishnamayi means? Krishnamayi means her every glance, wherever she looks, she does not see anything but Krishna. She doesn't see anything but Krishna. Now that vision is such a high vision. Even within DT form, you know, few years back when we didn't had shoekeepers. No, even when people would come, this happens to us also when we go out. And if you have to keep your shoes outside the temple, what are you looking? Are you looking the deities or looking? And especially if you have the experience of losing shoes every time when you come to the temple, you don't see the deity. You see your bag. You see your camera, you see your chappal, you see your this, you see that. We don't see Krishna. Our vision is what? The mundane object. Wherever I see that object. But here Radharani's vision is that wherever she glances, she only sees Krishna. And that is our good fortune. Why? Because when Radharani can see Krishna in us, we are not able to see Krishna within us. But when Radharani sees Krishna, oh, here is Krishna conscious person. He is a better devotee than me. Her vision of seeing Krishna everywhere is our hope. What is it? Then Radharani can say, oh, here is one good devotee also. Her way of looking is what? That I can see Krishna here, I can see Krishna here, I can see Krishna here. And we don't see Krishna in devotees also. Sometimes we doubt. You know, how can this be Krishna? How can that Krishna? How can Krishna do this? Even when Krishna does most wonderful pastime, we raise question, how can Krishna do this? Krishna cannot, he should not be doing this. But here Radharani can see Krishna even there is no Krishna. Krishna can see positivity. Krishna's positivity is our saving grace. Krishna could see, you know, some seva in Putana also. So therefore, this whole concept of Radha Krishna coming together to perform divine pastime, is not only meant for their enjoyment. As Prabhupada explains here, Krishna is Atmaram. He doesn't need to enjoy from outside. He is self-sufficient. Somebody was showing me a joke on his mobile on Janmashtami day. No, this is between Radha and Krishna. I'm not giving any conclusion. But the joke said that Krishna is asking Radharani that, can you find any place where you don't see me? And Radharani says, Mere nasib mein tum nahi ho. Everywhere else you are there, but not in my destiny. That is her mood. And then Radharani asks, why are we not married? We can understand philosophically also. Then Krishna said, for marriage you need two people. Two false egos are required. So that the third and fourth false ego also comes. And then the false ego legacy generation comes up. But Krishna said, we are not different. There is no difference between you and me. One and the same. And Kaviraj Goswami explains this concept, Shakti and Shaktiman. He explains so beautifully, musk and the fragrance in the musk. Musk cannot exist without the fragrance, and the fragrance in musk cannot exist without the musk. He said, fire and heat. You say, fire is there, but the heat is not there, then it is not fire. Fire means heat. Fire means light. You say there is a fire, but it is creating darkness. It can never be possible. Sun means sun rays. So sun and sun rays simultaneously exist. Therefore, Shakti and Shaktiman, they are not different. This is a Vedantic philosophy. That therefore, Radha and Krishna, Kaviraj Goswami in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada explains, they are not different. For the sake of enjoyment, and for the sake of saving us, they become two. Otherwise they one. They perform by becoming two and perform this most wonderful pastime. And therefore even the divine romantic pastimes of Radha Krishna, even though which is beyond our ability to withstand and handle, still as a sadhana, as a sadhaka, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we study them, offering our obeisances to Krishna and Srimati Radharani, knowing very well that Krishna does not exist without Radharani, and without Krishna, Radharani doesn't exist. They are simultaneously existing. So when these two personalities stand, Krishna is the lawgiver and Radharani is the love giver, and we need both. Love and law, both are required. Krishna creates the discipline. Krishna, and therefore Prabhupada calls Radharani like Jagan Mata. Jagan Mata means what? That this Jagan Mata is extremely merciful. The nature of mother is to be compassionate. Therefore, when we say Krishna's compassion means what? Krishna's compassion means Radha and Krishna. Krishna's Karuna means what? That means Radha and Krishna. Krishna cannot be compassionate. Krishna cannot be Karunika unless he has Radharani with her. Therefore, the divine energy of the Lord is the mercy potency of Krishna. Krishna's mercy means Radharani. So when we worship them combined, therefore I remember when I joined first, they told me, somebody had only Radharani's picture. Nowadays people sometime, you know, they want to worship Radharani alone. It is as dangerous as worshipping Krishna alone. You cannot have Radharani alone. I don't know, I've not read, but I heard from one senior devotee when I joined. It stuck in my mind. He said, anyone who worships Radharani alone, she becomes Durga Devi. And the Kaviraj Goswami explains that Tapakari Shakti, you know, the fury of woman is exhibited. Radharani can be as Bhairanga Shakti, Durga, or Chandi, or Kali. That is not a real nature. You know, that's her external nature. You know, the separated energy. But that separated energy, when Radharani's mercy, the compassion comes, It is also very destructive, positively. It destroys our material life. And Radharani's Bhairanga Shakti as Durga is destructive also. Very interesting. Therefore, Americans also know this. Catherine and Irene. Why? Female name only. That is the power of the material energy. She can be fierce when you worship her alone. So never separate Radharani from Krishna. Radharani has to be always with Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada said, dress Radharani most beautifully, so that Krishna doesn't run looking for, you know, some other girls. She has to be there with Radharani, and therefore, Radharani has to be always more beautiful than Krishna. And today it's our good fortune that we are able to see, you know, that we are able to offer, even though our mind, everything is contaminated, but only by the grace of Guru Parampara, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of our Acharya Varga, you know, whatever we are offering, something, speaking or listening, it is all getting purified, not because of our efforts, because the divine energy has been touched, and that divine energy is the parampara which is coming from Srimati Radharani. So when we understand this principle, and then we realize how insignificant we are, we start living, it's best, it is good to be depressed. But that depression gives rise to hope. If we are depressed on our own strength, then we need to go to the psychiatrist who is also more depressed than us. No, more depressed. But if you are depressed, if you are lowly and fallen, realizing how low we are, then that gives rise to hope. Why? Because that will take us to our superior Vaishnavas, better Vaishnavas, good Vaishnavas. And then we can always fall at their feet. You know, complete like a rod, dandavat. And when we fall at their feet and beg for their mercy, that I need your shelter, I need your mercy, then that principle, that concept is very pleasing to Krishna, very pleasing to Srimati Radharani. So, I'll stop here. And yesterday Vishwaru Prabhu spoke all the pastime, and today evening Radhesham Prabhu will speak the pastimes of Srimati Radharani. I just thought I will just speak a little, whatever I realized, whatever I understood, hearing from hundreds of devotees, hearing about the divine energy of the Lord. We are allowed to speak so easily Radharani's name, which was not even spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita purport. So therefore, with this meditation, how seriously we have to handle this name. She is not our neighbor. She is not our schoolmate. She is not our college mate. She is the divine energy of the Lord. And when we approach her the way Sukadeva Goswami approached and Srila Prabhupada approached, then she will also cast her glance and, you know, take us, the wretched souls, into the spiritual reality so that we can continuously chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Rani ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Radha Ashtami Maha Mahotsav ki. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Shah.